Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. As always, I am honored that you're joining us this week. So as you listen to the show, I really hope that you feel my passion about helping you change your perspective so that you really can clearly see your successful future by including change into your life. And little changes, that repercussion of little adds up to the trajectory of big. So to help you on your navigating change in your life, whatever that means professionally or personally, please go, and the link is in the show notes, my free communication style assessment. It gives you your superpowers of how people see you. And you also get a second report, which is your blind spot, kind of important, and tells you what your style that you are least like. So please check that out. My gift to you. And I hope it helps you as you navigate change in your life. Now, my motivational quote today is by Gary Keller. And Gary says, "Work is a rubber ball. If you drop it, it'll bounce back. The other four balls, family, health, friends, and integrity, are made of glass. If you drop one of these, it will be irrevocably scuffed, nicked, perhaps even shattered." Now, I've loved this quote, and I've actually shared it before on the show. I feel so many of us feel like we are on that darn hamster wheel. And I don't know where we're running, but I don't think we're running very far. And I also often think about how can we stop and choose that better balance in our lives? And it is a choice, right? Well, believe me, I know that this is not an easy objective. And I do know it's a critical objective to think about and create change wherever possible. Again, to find that integration balance, whatever you call it. Of course, today I have an amazing guest who's an expert in this field. And my guest is an Italian at birth and cosmopolitan by vocation. Angela Santi is one of a kind Dolce Vita lifestyle designer for elite entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. She's fiercely protective of her craft, the art that is the science behind the good life. As such, she has pioneered the four pillars of Dolce Vita Life Mastery Model. Now, working privately with a select group of ultra high performers and global leaders, her Mediterranean infused methodology ascends today's high flyers to unprecedented levels of success while living La Dolce Vita. And that's her signature Italian lifestyle through her bespoke Best Life Blueprint, a transformational implementation of daily business and personal routines and habits falls effortlessly into place. So please help me welcome my wonderful friend and colleague, Angela, to the show. So, Ange, thanks for being on.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Connie. It's always a pleasure to be here. And hi, everyone.
So much fun to have you. And this is actually our second show. So I do recommend go back and you'll hear all about Angela's background in a family business selling Mercedes and Maseratis, right? And Ferraris and all of those cool. So she is my high-end gal here. All right. So here's my first question for you, Ange. From your experience, again, you have depth of experience with the luxury end, but also living in Italy, you have that wonderful balance that is just ingrained in the culture. Are there a key metrics for how you can share that embracing that Dolce Vita kind of lifestyle?
This is a very interesting question. So why should you embrace La Dolce Vita lifestyle? Sure. Because when you embrace La Dolce Vita lifestyle, you change life and you change all your results. Because as you said before, being in a hamster wheel and running, often you don't even know where you're running. And we know that from a cognitive standpoint, but we can't stay without running because this is too much part of our culture. So what happened when you embody La Dolce Vita? So you see that everything, as you said before, falls effortlessly into place, not only into your private life, but also into your business life. So first of all, let me tell you about life. So overall well-being is improved, then your health is improved, you have more time for yourself, much better relationship with all the people that are, you know, the significant people in your life. And first of all, with yourself, and much more energy, brain power, all the good stuff. And this, and you are basically, what happened is that you are so in the flow and you are living a life that is so in alignment with who you are in the most authentic way, that when you bring it into the company that you are leading, this is the real game changer. Because if you show up as a Dolce Vita leader, a leader that is embodying La Dolce Vita, then you know that you can run your company and lead by example. Yeah. So the people will see that you are different, that you are leading from a very different and human-centric standpoint. And not only that, you are understanding them as human beings. So...
And that's important, I think, for employees today, Ange. I think employees, at least the statistics here in the United States, are staggering. It's like 73% of Americans are not happy at their job because of their boss. So that's just really kind of a scary and sad statistic, because it's nose to the grindstone. And that's why I think that lifestyle, especially again here in the United States, it's nose to the grindstone, keep working, push uphill, you know, get it done. You know, you should be checking emails at 2 a.m. This, and I'm not saying all companies are like that, but when you get into that kind of culture, it's really hard to take a step back, I think, and have that humanistic perspective, like you said. But here's the thing, right? It starts with us, the leaders, the individual, and it starts in our head. We have to want to change we have to want to get off the hamster wheel, right? Does that make sense?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because I know from my experience as a entrepreneur and also as a consultant that consultants and consultancy program don't work if they are only applied for the employees. So there are no quick fixes for employee recognition, employee empowerment, you know, all the beautiful things that, you know, we fill our mouth with. But if thing and the change doesn't start from us, nothing will change. Because then what happens is that the consultant is coming, they're doing a wonderful program. Probably they're taking you, I don't know, on a team building somewhere. All the employees are having fun. And by the way, they're just going on a holiday. But then nothing happens in the culture, in the company, because the boss is not aligned. So the boss, the leader, should really be the first one who is empowered. And I tell you, I never, ever, ever work with companies that don't start with the leader.
Agree. Because it flows south. You know, we as leaders at our division or whatever it is, we can make an impact, but you really do need the higher ups to also deliver that same level of human. I like that word, humanistic, right? That kind of a humanistic approach. Because people, here's the other thing too, right, Ange? You know, all the stats show that your employees matter, because if your employees are unhappy, your customers suffer. And oh, by the way, your shareholders suffer. Or if you're a business owner, your business suffers financially. So we really need our employees. We really need the people, the team that we bring together, to be engaged, activated, want to, you know, work hard, but then we also have to play hard. And I know you believe that strongly.
Yeah, exactly. And I tell you what, I have developed my methodology with the four pillars of La Dolce Vita that are vitality, illumination, techniques, and asset. And they can be applied both to the leader and to the organization. So a Dolce Vita organization, a Dolce Vita company environment is an environment that centralizes the importance of their asset, which is the last of the pillar. And what are the assets? Yes, of course, it's your product, your services, but it's also your people, as you said, their skills and their know-how. And if I may, this week's, I have been reading that Elon Musk is asking his people to go back to the office, which for me is a huge contradiction. Well, first of all, it's anachronistic because you cannot stop progress to, you know, progress is inevitable and there must be a change. So I understand very well, as I have worked all my life in HR development and organizational development, that remote working and all that beautiful stuff are not for everybody, not for all roles, not for all moments, you know, or circumstances of an organization, because there are some moments where everybody has to be at the office and so on and so forth. Yes. But just defining you, just come here and work in person. I think it's not working because and it's going to be interesting to see what's next, you know, and more will be revealed because he's not considering that if people, probably he's not considering, I don't know, I'm making up this. If people will become resentful, if people resign, all the know-how is gone. And people will not work with the same commitment, with the same passion, with the same interest. Yeah. And as you say, you know, then the clients, the customers are unsatisfied and the shareholders are not satisfied.
Yeah. You know, it's that inversion of the pyramid, right? It used to be that the shareholders were first. The clients were next and the employees were last. And actually statistics and, you know, research has proven that that pyramid has to be flipped and that your employees have to be happy so that it trickles down to the customer, which then the shareholders are actually the third layer. And not that they're not important. Oh my goodness. Of course they are. Right. But we have to make sure that they are profitable. They're making money on the investment in the company. So it really starts with the employees. And I think we forget that. And I also think that employees, people, and I mean, I was in corporate, so I get it too. Sometimes we say out of necessity, what are you going to do? The economy's bad. This is happening. I need to stay where I am because I need that paycheck. I have a mortgage, kids in college, whatever, rent is due, car payments are due. So I get how we can get sidetracked because life, it's life, right? That's what happens. I think the important piece here, though, is the bosses, right? Leaders need to acknowledge the strengths, the bench strength of their employees and flip it. The employees have to make sure that their values are in line with the organization. You know, we always make the organization be the bad guy. But if you take a job at a company that you know is not a fit for you, you're kind of doing a disservice to yourself, but you're also doing a disservice to the company because they're spending money on onboarding and training you. So again, I think both sides of the coin have to take responsibility for that relationship and choosing the right job, the right people, and because that's how we keep the talent.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree with you. The value part and the organizational culture part is often overlooked at the first stages of, you know, like during the interview, during the onboarding, because people are driven by necessity sometimes and not always by, you know, like the vision. I want to work in that company because it's aligned with my value and da, da, da. And La Dolce Vita, when I talk about La Dolce Vita means also to work in a place where you can flow, where you feel heard and seen, that is aligned with your value. So it's also, it's not only a job of the leader to create La Dolce Vita, but as you said, it's also your job to create your La Dolce Vita and contribute to La Dolce Vita in the company. Because yes, we know that there are some bad guys in the company and there are also some bad guys in the workforce.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, but I think, you know, that one of the challenges that the manager and the leaders are called for is to communicate more and more effectively with their people, which doesn't necessarily mean communicate goals, but communicate from human being to human being and understand them. And I'm not saying that the organization should always 100% meet the needs of the employees, because probably it's impossible, you know. But when organization and employees are on the same page and when they communicate, And if the employees know that they can count on a fair boss,
yeah,
and that they are living and working in a safe environment where yeah, they can ask things and maybe they also get a no, but it's a motivated no. They say, no, I can't, we can't because this and this and this. If the relationship is a transparent one, is a clean one, you know, then there is no problem. I understand. I mean, yeah. So this is really la dolce vita. So being able to count on each other on a mutual basis.
And it's vulnerability too, Ange, to some extent. Like as a leader, right, I have to let people know and vulnerable. I mean, you don't have to bare your soul. That's not what I'm saying. But I remember when I had my team of people, you know, it was always about respect for me. I respected them. And even if they'd made a mistake or didn't do what the expectation was, we talked about it. It wasn't a punitive conversation. Unless they deserved it, right? But that, to me, I think most people show up to do a good job. I don't think people in the morning brushing their teeth are like, oh yeah, so let me see how I could screw up today. I just don't believe that's how humans show up at work. But if you're not an authentic and open type of boss, right, or leader, then you get the pushback, right? Well, if they're not doing it, I'm not doing it. I'm not saying that the leader should get in the weeds with the employee. The employee has their job. The leader has their job. But I just think I love how you said that it's the communication. For me, it's that respectful communication. We don't have to agree, but we have to agree on what is that next step. And if I'm the leader and I know the organizational culture, then this is the next step that we have to do. But at least I'm explaining the why, not just I told you go and do it, right? So here's the other thing. And are you seeing this more and more as you meet with clients? I think we're getting this better within organizations. Listen, there are some crazy leaders out there. Don't get me wrong, right? They still think their way is the right way, whatever, okay? That's not who's listening to my show. And they're not the ones who are going to be hired by you or I, right? That's not my client. But the clients who are really making the effort, how do you help them? Because I think it still starts with self before you can bring it into the organization, right? So yeah. how do you take people through that self analyzing of where are your deficits in your personal life with balance? And then how do you translate that over? That's my guess. I don't know what your process is, but is that
so simple? My process is precisely that. When I say that a dolce vita leader has to have understood and embodied what la dolce vita means in their life. And right. This is why I am empowering the two sides of my business are leadership and lifestyle. They can't be, as we know, that business and private life are just two sides of the same coin. Yep. This is the same, you know, like leadership and self-leadership. At the end of the day, it's always a matter of leadership. So what I do generally when I work with my clients, even if it's on a call, well, I work in two ways. I can work and be hired by a leader for their life and for their life in business, for being more impactful in their leadership role. But sure, first, I assess with them how things are going in their lives and what are their beliefs. So I take them through the first thing is a tool, a very simple tool that is also a freebie of mine, which is the Wheel of La Dolce Vita. It's a very easy tool. It's similar that I have created. It's similar to the Wheel of Life, where you have to feel certain areas that tell you at a glance where you are, you know, in terms of living la dolce vita into your life and in your business. So you understand, wow, I'm here. And this is also the assessment that was a small assessment that we take at the beginning of the program, because then I ask my client to fill it again and see where are the differences. So where they made the progresses. Then I take them through a questionnaire where we analyze very, very deeply what's happening in their life at home and at work, taking them through my four pillars of La Dolce Vita. So how are they functioning And, you know, if there are imbalances, among all those four dimensions that are the four dimensions that bring you to La Dolce Vita. So from there, we start working and filling the gaps, but not only filling the gaps, but also empowering my clients to do best where they're good at, because there, these are their superpower, and they want their superpower to be even harder, better.
Yeah.
And you said a very important word. You said vulnerability. And some people, from my experience, think, oh, vulnerability is not something for the leader. In truth, this is something for the leader. Yeah. And leaders, to me, are vulnerable and are lonely. The higher you go in the organizational chart, the lonelier you are, and you can't be vulnerable. It's difficult. I mean, now you are called to have, you know, like not only emotional intelligence, also cultural intelligence. You have to communicate more. You have to communicate remotely and all that. So leaders need to be helped. They need to be supported, and they need to have a space where they can be vulnerable.
Agree. You know, it's so funny, Ange. My clients, you know, even my corporate clients, I become friends with them because that's me, right? So if some people don't want to choose me because they think I get very personal, and I don't mean I'm up in their business, not at all. But I do ask about, you know, if their kid graduate, oh my goodness, you know, did they find a job? And I'm interested. I'm curious, because to me, they're a human, not just the client. And what happens when you have those and intimate, and I don't mean that in a weird way, but those real human conversations, how do you not become friends with that person? You know, if their mom is ill, how do you not check on them and say, look, I've been thinking about your mom. How are things going? How did the surgery go? How do you not do that? I don't know how to not be that way. So my clients inevitably become my friends. And the other thing that you just said that I think is really important, especially in the organizations, my CEO colleagues, they move different organizations. And, you know, one week there, they'll call me, Con, we have to build a culture here. Can we meet? I want you to meet the CEO, right? Or whoever it is. And when you get on those calls, it is lonely for them, because who do they have to bounce ideas off of? So a lot of times as a consultant, when we go in, it's easier for them to talk about their own stuff. And I don't mean getting too personal, right? But what is their vision for the culture of the organization and all those things? I think sometimes it's easier to talk to an outside person than that internal person, for fear that we might say the wrong thing or share something too personal. There's such a fine line. But here's the reality, and this is my last comment on everything you just said. I remember I was teaching a class and somebody said, well, that's my professional persona. And I said, listen, you know, yeah, when you get to your organization, we should be more professional than goofing around, you know, with your kids on the floor. But here's the deal. When you leave for work in the morning, do you take your head off and leave it at the door and put on your professional head and then go to work? You're not two people. We're still the one person. So that's why I think I'm intrigued by the Dolce Vita way, because it's you have to balance at home for you to be able to find balance at work. Otherwise, it becomes this push-pull kind of dynamic within yourself. And that's just not healthy. And that's where burnout comes and we feel like we're on the hamster wheel and all of those things, right?
Yeah, exactly. This is exactly it. And I also tell you that, yeah, it's impossible to divide the personal persona and the business persona. It's ridiculous. And you know why? Because when you are hired for your personal persona, which are your soft skills.
That's right.
So because otherwise we hire a robot.
That's
so
right.
The personal persona is important. First, it's your assets. And of course, you embody your personal persona in a professional way when you are, but this is needless to say. And the other thing is, it struck me when you said, and it really resonated with me when you said, I become friends with my clients. Fine. And it's the same for me, probably because we are both Italians. Because how can you not be, as a leader, how can you not be interested in the human being?
Agree.
And at the end of the day, the relationships is way more rewarding. And even if, let's say, you're not interested in the human being at all, you have to know what's happening and what's going on, because the results and the productivity are impacted by what it says home.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This is so obvious.
It is.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Not everybody gets it. And I still continue to hear companies that say, keep the person and stuff outside. It's impossible.
It is. And here's the reality too. And when I coach, you know, obviously I coach sales and I coach coaching, so that after I leave the organization, the coaching culture is there to support all the training and what the expectations are. You need to coach your employees to help them grow, take them from where they are, from where you need them to be. I also add the caveat of where the employee wants to be. What is their career trajectory as well? As a leader, I feel that is part of our responsibility to make sure that we foundationally give them what they need as well. Growth. Because if they're growing, they're going to impact the organization. And by the way, everybody makes money. It's a win-win-win. So that's my formula, the win-win-win formula, right? I agree 100%. The other thing, my older son just started a new job in the past, you know, month or two. And it's funny because the leader, she's fairly new to the organization. And she has conversations about his career pathing already. And he's only been there less than, you know, 2 or 3 months, challenging him, giving him, John, you want to learn this? My son's name is John. John, you think you can handle this? And my son is, sure, I'll do it. And then he gets really good. And she's like, oh my God, you're like my superstar. So she's directing him. She's giving him career growth. She's supporting him. But when he executes really well, he comes home happy as a clam. It's adorable. And I said to him, enjoy this. You are lucky that your first big job out of college and you have such a wonderful leader. I said, embrace it, because that's just not the way it always is. And she gets it. And she's just amazing. So it matters. It matters. He's going in energized and engaged, and he wants to learn more. So he's growing exponentially because of that support and that leadership. It matters. I have one more question. We're almost out of time, but I think this is important. And I want you to weigh in on this. How do you see leadership evolving in the future? You know, in the next 1, 2, 3 years, especially now, because we're doing more hybrid stuff because of COVID.
Leadership is going to be one of the most challenging things to put into practice. Leaders should become, in my mind, should become even more Dolce Vita leaders and human-centric leaders.
Agreed.
Because the more we will have remote teams, and I'm not only thinking about the employees that are working remotely, but I'm also thinking about these new organizational things like the EXO team, you know, all the people that come and go. And so you have to connect from a deeper level and from a deeper and deeper and deeper level, because when you have the people at, you know, at your place, you meet them by chance, you invite them for a coffee, and or you get to know things by chance because somebody else is talking about this, etc. So you have to be more focused, more organized, more
vulnerable.
Even more intentional, more intentional. But at the other, so the hard stuff will matter even more, but the soft stuff, so your human part, will matter even more.
Yeah.
Because of the distance.
Yeah. It most companies are hybrid now. So it is what it is. Even my training, some of my corporate clients, I'm still live. Some of them want a hybrid. Some of them want digital only. So how do you engage? How do you captivate? How do you continue to learn and grow and coach and all those things as leaders that we should be doing? It matters. It just all matters. But at the end of the day, here's the message. Starts with self. If we don't embrace that Dolce Vita, that balance in our own life, how can we possibly bring it to the organization, which is a much bigger structure than self? So if we can't do it individually, how can we possibly influence an entire organization and the culture within that organization? It matters. It just matters. And I agree. I think the next few years in leadership, I think we are going to be challenged with our levels of emotional intelligence, our soft skills, our communication skills. That's why I always give my free gift at the beginning of the show. We all need to get better at communication, right? Humans, we have a 6-second attention span. How are we communicating through that if we're not even listening to each other? It's at the core communication skills as well. It all matters. It just all matters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the remote communication has to be shorter and much more effective. And I will tell you, it's also important that the leaders understand that they have to create more gatherings in person when it's possible with the people, because 100% hybrid is okay, but remote, we need to.
Depending on your job and where you're located. But I agree. You need the engagement, and it's being live matters. You know, I mean, again, I think a hybrid, I'm seeing it with my own business.
Yeah.
People are choosing hybrids, either all live or all remote, depending on, and they're choosing, I'm guiding them too as well. But I'm thinking, yes, for your population, we can't pull that many people out to live training. The hybrid will work. We'll do shorter training sessions versus an all day thing, right? So you got to modify and tweak the way you're delivering as well. We're out of time, but Angela, I want to share your website, which is angelasanti.it. Angela is in Italy, and her email is angela@angelasanti.it. I will put that in the show notes. You do have that free gift. Can you tell them the Wheel of Dolce Vita, what they can expect from that? And the link will be in the show notes.
Yes, and the link will be in the show, and they can get it also from my website. So it's like the Wheel of Life again, and it's a way to assess and to see very quickly and very clearly how much Dolce Vita are you embodying in your life. And I tell you, La Dolce Vita, it's not only a behavioral thing, but it's also, and most importantly, an approach to all aspects of life. So through my Dolce Vita, you will see what's working, what's not working, what you can do to make it better. And it's very quick. 10 minutes, you are done, and it will tell you a lot.
Thank you, because this is a really important tool, because here's the other thing, right, Ange? Everybody is, it's not like you're failing at everything. That's just not, we're not. We all have our little skills and superpowers. So we're probably doing 80% of the stuff right, but where can I go in and tweak? That's where the magic starts happening. And it's that little bit of tweaking, that other 20% where we're lacking blind spots. We never thought about it. We never practiced it, whatever it is. So 80%, we're doing okay. It's that other 20% that we want to really dig in and improve a little bit. And it's a blind spot. So the Wheel of Life, your Wheel of Dolce Vita, at least shines the light on where should I investigate, be curious, and practice from next. It's all about being curious, I think. Yeah. Right, Ange?
Exactly. And also it will tell you, and sometimes it's surprising, what's working, as you said, because maybe we take things for granted. So that's do true. More of what is working and fix that blind spot, you know, that you weren't aware of, to live even an even better Dolce Vita.
It was funny. Somebody said to me once, it was through networking, and then we met one-on-one, and she says, what do you do for self-care? And I said, oh, I don't know. And like, I was like, oh, I don't think anything. And so as we were talking, I'm like, oh yeah, I get my nails done every 2 weeks. You know, that's important to me because I use my hands. Yeah. And I get my lashes done because that's my little indulgence once a month. And, you know, I go for my massage every couple of months. And if I'm not feeling well, I do an Epsom salt bath. And as we're talking, she goes, so you do self-care. I go, oh, I never thought about that as self-care. It's just kind of like what my body needed at the moment. So here, sometimes we're doing things we don't even know we're doing them.
yeah, this is it. This is true.
crazy is crazy, and welcome to my world, right?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the free gift. Thank you for sharing the Dolce Vita lifestyle again for both personal and business, because we are commingled. We are one human, you know, dealing with that. I like how you said it. It's the two sides of the one coin. We are the two sides of who we are. So thank you so much, Ange, always for sharing just great ideas and ways to think about personal and business and how we can really live that Dolce Vita, that balance, that calmer, more effective, right? More productive perspective. So thank you so much. I always enjoy our conversations. You're
thank you, Connie. I'm so happy whenever I come, whenever you invite me, whenever I come and speak with you, it's amazing.
Aw, back at you. So thank you again. And thank you for joining me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that becoming that salesperson, that heart-centered salesperson, that heart-centered leader, that executive leader that has that humanistic approach that Angela talked about today, it's probably easier than you think. And between my free gift and Angela's free gift with the Wheel of the Dolce Vita, do some assessment of yourself, because that's how you shine lights on those blind spots. That's how we impact change. And I'm sorry, information is a beautiful thing, but if we can apply the information you learned today, man, that's where the magic starts happening. And that's where our life becomes really fun and amazing. So I hope you take Ange up on her free gift. And of course, my free gift. Come play with me with my membership. I'd love to have you. I'd love to share my zone of genius with your zone of genius. Let's rise. Let's be the tide that rises and the ships that rise together. Let's do it, guys. We've got this. Thank you again for tuning into Changing the Sales Game with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. As always, I am truly honored that you're on this journey of changing your sales game and changing your life. And I hope my guests and I provide those tips to make it a little bit easier so you can live within ease and grace. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you next week, everyone. Have a great one.